Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Southern Collective Podcast. I'm excited tonight for a variety of reasons, one of which is we've got a special guest that honestly has been gone for like quite some time. Brett, can you not do that? It was so loud.
What?
Whatever you were doing, it was on the table, and it was just going doo-dum, 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 doo-dum.
I didn't touch nothing on the table.
Oh, okay. My bad.
All I did was click the silent button on my phone.
All right, man. No big deal. anyways.
I mean, what the hell?
I don't know.
I guess touching my phone is a disturbance.
I don't know, man. I got noise coming from
me. I heard it too. It's all right. Just start
okay.
From the top.
We're going to start from the top. ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Southern Collective Podcast. We are back live. This is episode, let's see, this should be episode 9. We are cruising through deer season. We are a full one month into the season. I am joined by the one and only Brett Smashburn, Matthew Reeves. And I am happy to say that Parker McDonald, host, producer, shuttle extravaganza, oh, I screwed it all up, of the Tagged Out Tour is back. Welcome, Parker. We're glad, we're really glad you could find a way to join us in this arena. But
how'd you get everybody to stop at the exact same time like that? That's amazing.
I almost made a really dark joke. But it's late, folks. It is really late.
Gas chambers.
Whoa.
What? I thought you said dark.
I did. You just took it there, dude. You anyways, it is late at night. We are testing a brand new software that is going to, obviously, you just heard some of it's going to change some things for us. But we got some catching up to do, and we don't have a lot of time to do it because it took us like 30 minutes just to get this thing up and going. So we're going to start with the biggest news out of all of this. Mm-hmm. Brett, what's it like to be a father, man? Congratulations. This is the first episode you've had your little boy.
Woo!
All right, it's been all right. Just getting used to doing everything a little differently, but it hadn't been too bad. Yeah. Thank goodness my wife's done a lot, so she made it a lot easier on me, but and just taking some different roles of stuff around the house more than normal, but that's just fine by me.
That's awesome, man.
That's crazy, dude. It's I'll never forget that, like, first week or two after having, like, you know what's funny? I'm pretty sure, like, so do y'all ever relate, like, life events with the Netflix series that you were watching?
The Office.
At the time?
Never have.
You ever do that? I freaking do it. We got into, like, these, like, murder mystery type stuff whenever our first kid was born. And so, like, whenever I think about when Henley was born, I automatically go back to, like, these murder mysteries. And I'll tell you another funny one that we watched was Once Upon a Time. So I think about that when we had kids. But, dude, like, I remember that season of my life so well. And I remember it being really difficult, but at the same time, it was a whole lot of fun. Are you experiencing it? Like, you almost don't even care that it's that hard.
Yeah, I can see that.
I experienced something for the first time today that I'm not used to, and that is Brett is my tried and true. If I just want to talk hunting, I can call Brett. Doesn't matter if that dude's 6 feet in the hole digging up a gas line, he's going to answer the phone and talk to you. And today I got cut off by a little tyrant. I'm sitting there, we're like 30 seconds into a phone call, and you hear, wah, wah, and he's like, oh, got to go, click. I'm like, all right, well.
Good talk.
Well,
so you losing sleep? You losing sleep, Brett? Like, tell us any horror stories? You've been crapped on yet?
No, none of that. I did lose sleep in the hospital for sure. We stayed at the hospital for like 4 days, and she kind of had like a 15-hour labor. We didn't actually have the baby till about 3:06 in the morning. And by the time we got out of there into a room, it was a little after 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'd been up for 24 hours, no sleep. And then every nurse and every doctor wanted to come in every 20 minutes because it was the shift started to change. And so the first couple of days, I didn't get any sleep. But since we've been back at the house, it's been a lot better. And he also had to be under what they call the Billy Blue Lights, like when they have jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
So he could only be in a diaper under there. So with that, you know, he's used to being in the mother's womb where he's kind of tight, secure. Now he's out in the open, can't touch anything. And he would scream all night, and you would have to, like, hold your hand in there for him to touch you, and he'd be just fine. So we took turns doing that a little bit. So the hospital was rough, but since we've been home, it's been a whole lot better.
Did you watch the whole thing, Brett?
Pretty much. I mean, I like wasn't in front of it. You know, I was beside my wife, kind of looking over the top, so I didn't see nothing crazy. But yeah, I pretty much watch.
Ooh, Matthew, you got something to look forward to, my friend.
it's not that bad.
God.
So this new software is pretty sick. Can you edit out inappropriate things?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm hoping I can edit out the gas chambers comment.
Well, if not, you just reminded everybody about it.
But we got a little business we got to do, and we've been a little bad about it lately, is making sure we get these put in at good intervals. So we're going to start with the Patreon members. As you guys know, you heard it at the intro of this podcast, we have a Patreon group, and we host a digital deer camp. We give you a variety of benefits for helping financially support the show. And one of those is we give you a shout out on the podcast. Now, in looking at some of these names that are still showing due, I'm really starting to question whether or not this is really updating accurately, because some of these people have been on here for like a really long time, and I find it hard to believe that they haven't had a shout out. But we're going to trust the software and what it's spitting out. Ryan Goins, Michael Gass, and Clay Harper. I just want to say thanks to you guys for supporting the show, marking you guys as complete. Yeah, three more just popped up from like January of 2021 when I did that. So weird. Anyways, we're just going to keep saying thanks to you guys. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't hurt us anything. If you haven't already, we got a wait list for our Patreon deer hunt. That's going to be happening the very last weekend of January. And we've got a giveaway. We have had more giveaways this year, but this one we can actually talk about. It is going to be running the month of October. You guys get ready for this. We are going to be giving away a Joiner Die custom knife. This knife is legitimately the epitome of SoCo. It has got a black micarta handle with a yellow inlay. It has SoCo lasered into the blade, and it comes with a watertight box that also has a fire starter, a honing rod, snake oil, all kinds of really good stuff built in there. We're going to be giving that away in the month of October. So if you're listening to this and you're not a Patreon member, remember, if you sign up, you get entered into that giveaway. And much to some people's dismay, we gave away a bow and we included people from YouTube. This will be a Patreon only giveaway. I know who you are. You made your comment. that's to make you feel assured we're taking care of you. But I just want to say thanks to the Patreon members, guys. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming out. The hat should be here next week. The supply chain has been a disaster on the pre-order and the hats. We'll just put it that way. It's been a disaster, but the hats are supposed to be here next week. We're going to get those shipped out to you guys. We have got another hat order that's coming out, a never-before-seen item. Just going to tease that. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And we've also got a pile of shirts coming as well in the next week or two from that pre-order. So just want to say thanks to you guys. And if you want a hat, you want a shirt, you want to support the show, and you don't want to support, you know, you don't want to sign up for a, you know, month-to-month thing with Patreon, go buy a shirt, go buy a hat, leave us a 5-star rating, review, sub, tell your friends. That's how we grow. So, Brett, did something just turn on in your room?
Somebody's washing machine.
Do y'all have that hum from him too?
It's probably Matt's.
I'm nowhere machine. Near.
It's coming from like. Brett.
Oh, I thought you said it was your washing machine, Matt.
Sounds like a dryer.
Brett, do you have? Did anything cut on in your room?
Nope.
That's weird.
Hit mute, Brett.
Yeah, it's him.
I was pulling for you, Brett. I really wanted it to not be.
I'm not doing nothing.
Do you have an AC? Do you have an AC in the room or something that just cut on?
Did your AC may have turned on.
Maybe.
It's gone now.
It went off. Something went away.
Meh, whatever. I can edit. It's no big deal. But yeah, so let's catch up, guys. We haven't talked in a hot second. We all know Brett's story. He's been tied up with a kid. Matt, dude, your season's about to kick off. What have you been doing between setting a Kentucky record?
Hold up.
What?
Matt's season's about to kick off.
Yeah, I ain't got started.
What are you talking about season? It's already dang. He's already dang kicked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. His Alabama season's about to kick off. He set a world record for Kentucky Velvet Whitetail. And now, you know, there's been this lull in between where he's just been drooling, you know, foaming at the mouth every day over some huge deer that he's got over there at Black Warrior. Why don't you tell everybody what you're doing?
No, I've been scouting when I can. I try to do that during the week when I can. But most of the time on weekends, I'm trying to finish this bonus room so I can have me kind of a, you know, podcast video studio going forward. I think, Walt, you and I talked about that a little today. But really just hanging sheetrock, finishing sheetrock, just little odds and ends things, really. Just trying to stay close to home to when, you know, we get that opener. You know, the one zone I hunt opens this weekend. And I doubt I put a lot of time into it because I'm really looking forward to the 14th opener of October. The weather's going to set up right for me. The deer have been moving right for me. I'm really just waiting for the 14th, honestly. This weekend's just kind of a get-by hunt until then.
I got you. That ain't where the big, just so you guys know, it's obviously not Black Warrior. Everybody in Alabama knows that WMA, so I just threw it out there to be funny. But, or maybe it is. Maybe I'm just messing with you at this point and backpedaling. Who
Man,
knows?
Dude. Like, I thought we had everybody messed up. Now everybody knows that Matt's really hunting.
Bankhead?
It's Geneva State Forest.
Geneva
State Forest, yeah.
Apalachicola WMA. Matt, so you got these big deer on camera. I just want to pick your brain real quick and let you flex your predictions on here. You have sold out on a couple of really freaking big, one really big deer. A, how big do you think he is? And B, how do you think you're going to try and kill him?
I think he's a 150. And I'm going to try to kill him midday.
Doing.
What was the prediction? What was Matt's next prediction?
150.
Of what that deer, how big he is.
No. I'm saying in our bold predictions episode.
Crap! I don't have those Matt notes was gonna on kill me.
Matt was going to kill a big buck, but there was other bucks included in that. Well, I'm interested to know.
I think we said two over 125.
It was 120, two over 120 in Alabama. And then I said I was going to kill my biggest deer with a bow this year.
That's what I said.
Well, I'm looking at it more as like a prophecy at this point.
Yeah.
God.
But how are you going to kill a midday? No, what's the strategy, man? What?
You know, I've had this discussion with my buddies, and it's moon phase. Me and Brett have talked about it. Brett actually kind of put me on the moon phase kick. Whether you believe it or not, or you think it's a load of horse crap, that's fine. But if it gives me confidence to go in there and kill one, I'm going to go off of it. So what I've done with this buck is I've only had three pictures of him this summer, and they've all been daylight pictures. But the key of when he's moving is on a new moon. He moves every new moon. And he's coming through this area, middle of the day, nonchalant. I mean, other bucks are coming through there too. It's not just him. But I'm gonna kill him based off the moon, hopefully, on the opening weekend. It's a long, it could be a long shot, but with the way these deer have been moving. Now, I know, like, the last picture I got of him, he just started shedding velvet. So, I don't know, you know, if I'm only getting a picture of him, you know, in those first couple days of the new moon, but I don't get any pictures throughout the month, like, I'm kind of just going in there hoping he does the same thing he's done the last 2 months. But we're going to try it.
This is the same deer. This is all one-eyed deer.
Yeah, I've had pictures of him the last 3 years. This is the fourth year I've had him on camera. So he usually gets busted up come the rut. So we'll see.
Are you gonna set up on his weak side? Is that how you gonna kill him?
God dang it, dude! I was about to say that.
On his weak side. we gotta take these controls away.
I could see.
What's going to be really funny is if nobody can hear it.
Yeah, I know.
If it doesn't get recorded in the track,
yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
Oh, I have it on preview. It might not.
that'll be great. But no, we'll see. We'll see. There's other deer in there. I'd really like to kill him. So, who knows? Who knows?
Let me see.
I'm pulling for you, man. I really am. I'm watching my cameras pretty hard to see if this moon phase thing has any merit to it. I'm not going to belabor it because everybody in the Patreon group has heard my stance on it, but I'm just, I'm curious, man, if you end up going in there and smacking that Joker, like you're talking about, or at least even seeing him, right? Like just simply, seeing him, that's going to be one of those things where it's going to be hard for me to ignore it. And I'll be calling Brett and being like, Brett, oh, wise one. Most magnanimous, you know, one, would you...
The first picture I ever got of him, you remember he had his head down and like you could really see his tine length. You know what his head was down in?
Mm-hmm.
Mock scrape.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, but there's a pretty big terrain feature there too that kind of pinches him down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be cool, man. That deer is a freaking hammer. You kill both those deer in one year, man. You might as well go buy a lottery ticket. I'm going to
quit, retire.
Yeah. Well, Parker, you have been on the road.
He's going to have to find time for autographs.
Yeah, right. That.
You've been on the road, Parker, with a roving group of banditos just, you know, pillaging North Dakota. I don't know what details you can really say because stuff hasn't landed, but can you give us kind of a bit of an update of what's been going on in your world?
Oh, dude, man. When you say stuff hasn't landed, that is accurate. Some things have landed. Like, this show is going to be freaking awesome. That is priority number one for me this fall, is making sure that this show, that the Tagged Out Tour, is so good. I want it to be awesome. I want these kids to kill deer. And I want them to have a good time while we do it. You know, I mean, I'm in there. The theme of the show this year is called Dirt Bagging. If people watched it last year, you know, they had the struggle bus, and it was very much a struggle bus, and we decided not to use that this year. And so we're using a big wall tent that the guys sleep in, and it's been a blast. We had a great time, spent 2 weeks in North Dakota. Now, I'm pretty sure, Walt, correct me if I'm wrong, I think which episode went up on the live from the fire, which update went up?
I think it was the one where you were in the car. So it's a bit of a loaded question because both of them are, one's queued, one is live. So the first one that you have is close calls in North Dakota, and then tomorrow, by the time we're recording this, or Thursday the 27th, you will hear Alfala Fafala is what you titled it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so everybody heard about my miss.
Yep. Yes.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Here's been some updates from the field on that miss. Actually was able to find out that it was not necessarily my fault as a shooter, which was kind of cool. It made me feel a lot better because, you know, it's not been a secret. I've talked about it a lot. I've kind of had some target panic and just some issues that I've been trying to figure out. And, man, I really felt like I had done so. And when I shot that deer, and it was just, I felt like it was so perfect. He came in perfect to 14 yards, and I watched that arrow just sail right through his back straps. And I was like, what even am I doing here? You know, like, I felt like it was so good. Like, I was relaxed. I was calm. You know, I've done it a whole lot of times in my life. Like, and at that point, I felt like I had, like, I don't know. I remember the whole shot. You know, I didn't freak out. So I went back to camp the next day and shot, and that arrow sailed all the way over the target. And I was like, well, something's off. So I got to looking, and what ended up happening was the dial on my site, which is a 3-pin fixed sight. It's the black gold 3-pin fixed with a floater on the bottom. And that little nut that kind of tightens the dial, it had just barely come loose, and that dial had gotten turned down, I mean, pretty, like, I would say, like, maybe a quarter of an inch or so.
Damn.
And I just didn't, I didn't realize it. It's usually something that I look at, and I make sure that that's good every time. If I'm being honest, I don't even use the floater. I set it as just a fix, because I'm not going to shoot a deer over 40 yards anyway, so I just have it set to 20, 30, and 40. Set it, forget it. I don't even have a sight tape on it. I'd probably piss some people off. Like, especially, like, the, what is it, obsessive compulsive, mm-hmm. like, seeing the spot for the sight tape, and there's not sight tape there. Yeah, I just, that's just how I decided to use it. So I just kind of have forgotten about it, and I found out that I do not need to forget about that. That is very important. But it made me feel better. It made me feel like I wasn't crazy, because I did genuinely feel like I'm going nuts. You know, like, I felt like that was perfect. If I felt like that was perfect, what am I going to do the next time? I was able to see that buck again, which was kind of interesting. I saw him again after he had shed velvet. I had him inside of 20 yards, but he avoided that trail like something had shot him there 2 days before. He got stung by a really big bee in that spot, and he was not going to go down that hill again. And he just barely skirted it right in the thick stuff. And I watched him, and he ended up going by Eli and Casey. That's about as far as I can tell that story. It was a cool hunt, though, man. I mean, I had a great time watching the guys kill deer. There are deer that got killed in North Dakota. I had some encounters. I had an encounter with a really, what would have been my best deer, for sure, on day three. I don't think I talked about it in that podcast, but did y'all see that? I think I sent you that video of that buck.
Is that the one on your weak side?
He was on my weak side. And, yeah, that was a big buck, man. That was a really big deer. I'm trying to think anything else. People thought, I showed people that video, and he definitely goes right through a hole, and I could have stopped him, and I didn't. And I've been trying to just, what I was trying to do is, just not rush the shot, you know, wait for the right opportunity. That's what I've been trying to just tell myself, because I have a really bad habit of doing that, of taking the first opportunity I get and not waiting for the best opportunity. And I feel like that's cost me a lot of deer. And so I tried to make the right choice there. And, I still felt like I did. I was so pumped after I saw that buck. Like, that was worth it. That was worth the drive there for sure. Just being that close. But that was the story of the freaking thing, man. Like, I was inside bow range of multiple bucks, multiple times, on multiple days, and it's just so thick in there, dude. Just the hardwood, they're all so low. Like, we're talking about, like, being one stick high in a tree every single time. And you're in it, you feel like it, like, when you're looking at the map, you're in the hardwoods. Think about being in the hardwoods, but you can literally get one stick high just to have a few lanes to see through. And, man, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. If you had told me before I left that I was going to hunt there for 2 weeks and come home without a deer, I would have told you you're freaking crazy. But here we are without a deer after 2 weeks of hunting North Dakota. But I got a heart full of memories.
Hey. a full spirit or a full heart and a glad spirit, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't have much to show for it so far, because I barely hunted. My opening day was a little bit of hunting and a whole lot of scouting. Basically, my areas, if the acorns aren't dropping, there's way too much browse out in the pines. The pines are pretty well managed in this area. It basically acts like big CRP. And so I took a lesson out of Matt's book coming out of Kentucky and tried to find myself a pinch point. Found a couple of laurel oaks that were trickling acorns already. And so set up there and had some really close encounters with deer. There was a big bedding area back to my back and in front of me as well, and heard deer communication, bleating and some grunting. Had deer moving through the area, had a bobcat come up to about 10-15 feet on the ground, and then I just decided the rest of the weekend I was going to scout. I just hadn't been to this WMA in a little while, and they had done some burning and whatnot. So I walked some pine thickets and some areas and found my first shed in several years, which is really, really rewarding in that regard. But laid eyes on some areas that I can do some observation hunts around areas that I know hold really nice bucks. And so kind of banking on some cooler weather, waiting on Zone D in Florida to open up, and just cranking out videos and being a family dude. Doing a lot of work on the boat, getting it ready, making sure the engine's tuned up and putting new trailer tires on there and getting it ready for a trip up to Alabama in December, which I'm really looking forward to.
That lot you made was sweet.
And just wait till you see the finished product. This thing's going to be
wicked. It was a little off-center, but, you know, it's I'm kidding.
Dude, that my OCD hilarious. Is killing me so badly about that.
if you got to move up to the troll motor, you got to move it.
Yeah, but it's killing me. I'm that OCD guy that Parker was talking about. Having that much space on the tape would drive me crazy. And that light bar being off, I'm the guy that you can put something on the wall and I can just tell you without a level if it's level or not, right? And so it's all about angles. And so you got 6 inches of light bar, that's what she said, sticking out this side, and nothing coming over here. And so, but in the end, it's going to be worth it. And I'm going to put, so anybody who's listening right now, it's in the Patreon group, but I took a 5.56 metal ammo can. And I drilled holes in it, and I put a 24-inch light bar on the front of it, and then I'm putting 2 6-inch light bars on little PVC pedestals just to get it above that main light bar. And I'm going to put a rechargeable 12-volt, 35-amp-hour battery in there with a light switch on there. And I bought off Amazon, 2-switch panel so I can run the main light or the side lights. The main light is a Sasquatch symbol, and the side lights just say side light. So it's... The cool thing is I can take that battery box off the front of the boat, just unbuckle it, take it off the boat, put it in the truck, in the garage, or put it in the back of the truck or whatever. And whenever I'm not using the light bar, it's not permanently fixed to the front of the boat to get caught on and busted or just in the elements. So pretty happy
with
it.
That's cool. Walt, didn't you say you were going to make a YouTube video about that light bar
setup? I am. I want to get the whole thing dialed in and how I did it, but yeah, I'm gonna do a YouTube video on it, because honestly I've got several buddies who have a couple different boats they hunt from, and they have setups for each one of them. I think this might appeal to a lot of people, because even in a hurricane situation, man, like I think this is kind of a cool survival, like just all per camp setup. You can cut on your lights and have camp. You're cleaning a deer, you take it out the back of the boat, you hang your deer from your predator platform at the boat ramp. And, you know, you can cut this thing on and have light right there while you're skinning the deer out. So,
yep.
It's kind of cool.
Hey, you said something, Walter, about deer vocalization and stuff.
Yeah.
Going on right now. Bro, I've heard in the last probably 2 or 3 years more vocalization from deer in the early season than I do even in the rut. For example, the buck that I shot the day that I shot him, he came out in the field, a doe came out in the field. She walked right by me. He like stood kind of at the edge of the bean field before he walked down to me. He stood right there and he went brick, 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 and then like going all the way down the hill, like he was chasing her like a buck in rut. And we've seen it multiple times. Multiple guys heard vocalizations in North Dakota from these deer that were and weird, like weird body language too, like chasing and like neck out to the ground, like nose to the ground. And you're talking about bucks that are like 2.5, 3.5 years old. You know, you're not talking about like little spikes and stuff just fooling around. You're talking about, you know, decent rack bucks that are doing this. I don't know, man. It's kind of an interesting thing, and I've wondered if using some calling tactic in the early season might be beneficial.
Yeah.
Me and Greg had a great conversation about it too. Greg Godfrey from Tethered, he rattles in the early season because he thinks that these young bucks kind of start sparring and stuff. And he said multiple times that he rattled in velvet deer, like bigger velvet bucks, while we were in North Dakota as well. Just an interesting thought.
That's neat. Now, you with the running walk, when you were saying, did you see any of those deer that you heard?
No, but I could. Oh, yeah, yes, but like through
just
brush,
the, like taut movement.
Yeah.
Parker, like you were saying, but
like I couldn't tell you he was a Boone and Crockett. I couldn't tell you he was a 1 year old. I could just see movement.
And what I'm about to say, y'all may never experience this, but I have. Have y'all ever had a doe grunt?
Yes.
Yeah. And that, I hear that a lot in the early season. When a fawn goes away, she'll do that very soft grunt. And I'm like, well, here comes a buck. And I turn around and doe with a yearling close by. So that always throws me off. Throws me for a complete loop.
Yeah. I've called in several deer and killed them early season. Grunt tube, can. In fact, Chavo and I talked about this a lot in the Patreon group. But I think I have killed more bucks having called than I have them just naturally coming through. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, I killed that deer. I had grunted. Oh, I did that deer. The spike up in Georgia last year, grunted. He walked in, I killed him. In pre-rut situation, a month away from the rut, it wasn't like I was out there. But if you've ever spent time around pin-raised deer, and I have, those jokers are talking all the time. Their hearing is better than us, but they might do just the faintest little bark. But like they're talking to each other. And so if there's a time of the year where they're talking most, it's either rut or it's preseason when they're all in those big groups and talking to each other. I think just like turkeys will sometimes whip to each other because they'll hear the other turkey and they want to know if it's another turkey, right? If they do a whip, that other bird will respond. You'll hear it. Whoop, whoop. And then they just both know they're a turkey. It's not a predator. It's not a human. I think deer do something similar. They can't always lay eyes on each other, but they're talking to each other.
So let me ask you this question. Would you feel bad killing a doe that you called in with a fawn in distress call?
No.
I feel weird.
Brett? Weird about it? How about you, Brett?
I would say probably now I may, but before I would have told you no, not at all. But
before now, you had kids, did that change you?
No, it's just I guess just
Bambi from hunting different now
for so long that now if I see a doe that has phones with her period, I just won't shoot them.
Well, I'm not saying that you killed the fawn or that she had a fawn.
I mean, yeah, but if she's coming in looking for it, then she
what
had
if she came
one
in by
somewhere.
Herself.
Well, she come in looking for her fawn, I would assume.
We had this conversation while we were in North Dakota. If it would, and most of the guys as disrespectful and brutal as they can be, they were like, I don't know, man. Like a lot of them had opportunities to shoot does, and they didn't because they had fawns with them. And like, I'm talking about like last day type scenarios. And, so it's interesting. I'm kind of indifferent on like, if I want to shoot a deer, like if it's a last day type thing, man, like if the fawn's little bitty, like you're talking about, like if it's got spots,
yeah,
I don't know, dude. Like sometimes I've heard when I had Bobby Worthington on Southern Ground, he talked about the does will kick a buck off, off of their that home range to prevent inbreeding. And so if you shoot a doe with fawns, if that buck is one of her fawns, he'll stay there. I've heard that said. before. So, I mean, I really don't know how I feel about it. I probably more times than not would choose not to shoot a doe with fawns, but
I've called in a lot of deer using a fawn in distress call, bucks included. I don't think there's any correlation between. I think there is a especially early season when there's fawns on the ground to really be a problem. I think there's almost a herd mentality of taking care of those fawns, and they're looking to run off predators, because I have seen does come in and leave without a fawn with them. I've seen young bucks and mature bucks both show an interest, whether they come the full distance, and they're all stomping and doing their thing and blowing. If I don't see a fawn, I'm shooting the deer.
What if you see the fawn?
I'm not shooting. If it's got spots, I'm not shooting the mom. All
right. Yeah. What if it doesn't have spots?
Mom dies.
Okay. Another predicament. If it doesn't have spots, are you shooting the unspotted fawn or are you shooting the mom?
Depends on which one gives me the shot first.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, I mean, because if it doesn't have spots, it's a pretty decent sized deer at that point.
Decent size.
Yeah.
One of them pocket.
We're talking decent. We're talking about decent size, like a catfish.
Yeah. Yeah, personal.
Like 60 pounds.
It's veal. Yeah. I mean, it all depends on how itchy that trigger finger is. Ask me come December when I start hunting if a yearling walks out, or it's not a yearling. I guess they're calling it a fawn.
Did you just say you were going to start hunting in December?
Most of my hunting's going to start in December, yeah.
God, Walt.
I told you.
Yeah, Walt's done prioritizing is what we said.
Yep.
He's out there prioritizing.
Most of my hunting will be done between December and February 14th or 12th or whatever. So my goal is to paint a red strip from a variety of WMAs I almost didn't drop out. Back to my house from dead deer being in the back of the tailgate. So I'm gonna try and fill my two doe tags in Florida though in October.
You gotta go.
Oh, I will. I got that little permission piece right here. It's about 5 acres. I got a corn feeder already on it, so
I've always heard I've heard a lot in Patreon about people giving you crap about not hunting and doing this and that. I'm going to be able to see it this year. I'm an insider now.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true or not, I'm hoping it's not true.
It's a thing. It's a thing where Walter will he'll talk about and really like pump up all week. Like, I'm absolutely going. Can't wait to go hunt. And then he'll tell a story. He'll tell a story about a big deer that he heard about that's in the area and how pumped he is to go and hunt it. And then like everybody will be in a tree and we'll text, you know, at the same time, like, "Hey Walt, how's it going over there?" "Oh man, my air conditioning blew up our house. can't go this weekend."
Have an ingrown toenail.
Yeah.
Got an ingrown toenail, can't make it out. No, but usually it is something pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually an actual situation.
It's crazy how that happens, because, like, anytime I try to go out of state or on a hunting trip, something like that happens. And I'm like, well, do I go? Most of the time I don't go. And it's just like, crap, how does all this – why can't this happen 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was 14 degrees with a wind chill of, like, negative 20-something. I can't even remember. It was insanely cold. And I go out there. I'm all set, man, because 2021 season with my son and my wife, that's where most of that comes from, Matt, is that season. I just didn't hunt very much.
I got you.
And I go out there. I'm all excited. Brett's on the way. I go out to my Dura Nextera. I put ether in that joker. I'm like, it's just not getting fuel. It just needs a prime. I've got a video of me on the Ring doorbell in my front yard, slamming my truck so daggone loud. I almost woke up my kid, cussing and swearing. And you can hear how pissed I was out there, because it was perfect. I mean, the conditions were just money for deer to be moving all day. And Brett passed like 13 legal deer accidentally that day. And but yeah, I'm excited, but I'm shifting things around, man. Most of my hunting's going to happen during December and January, but I'm gonna go pretty hard those months.
Is it crazy to say that that was probably one of the coldest days I've ever hunted, and it was in the state of Florida?
It's wet.
Ever?
It's a wet hunted. Cold, man. It's just different down here.
No. Well, it was already supposed to be in the single digits, and then with a 20-mile-per-hour wind, yeah, it was like 0 degrees or something. Something wild.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Dude, I had the stick on you heat packs, whatever, like you put on your kidneys. I had those ready to put on the back of the ZV1 so the battery wouldn't die quite as quick. And like, I had everything, dude. My wife wakes up. She's like, "What are you doing here?" I'm out in the living room at like 6:45. And I was like, "The effing Xterra won't effing start. I'm going to light the effing thing on fire." It's like, the whole Patreon group's going to do nothing but give me hell about this. I'm going to have to hear about the Santa costume. She's like, "What is going on?" I went on a freaking tirade. She goes, "Go outside until you can calm down. The boy's not awake right now, and I want to enjoy my breakfast in peace." And so I went out there, and I'm cussing and swearing and kicking stuff. I was showing my butt. I was so daggum angry, but... you know, I didn't get anything on camera that day, so it didn't really matter.
God, dude, that's awful. But hey, you got a new truck now, so you ain't got to worry about that.
Hey, it'll probably, you know,
sure,
blow up my AC or something.
Somebody gets sick.
Dude, that was the other thing, was my kid never stayed well that first year. My God.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
So, all right, boys, we got anything else to say?
Well, I feel as though I wouldn't be doing my job well if I didn't tell people. When does this episode drop? When is it coming out?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The second, I think, is what.
Yeah, if the Tagged Out Tour episode 1 will have dropped on the Tethered channel by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can see some of the stuff we've been doing, kind of why I've been out of the loop and extremely out of the loop. And, completely like all my time's going towards that. And so it's been cool though, man. It's been a lot of fun. I think people are really going to enjoy it. And also want to say you fellas are crushing it, putting up new stuff on our YouTube channel, and just big giant velvet buttons getting shot with drop times all over the place. And
we get
Matt's video is up to 14,000 views, by the way.
14,000.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's
gotta get more. All our videos are doing good.
But yeah. Yeah. Dude, I think we've got a bang up lineup coming. You know, this week's episode is going to be a little, well, by the time you hear this, last week's episode, but whatever. It's going to be a little delayed because we had some editing woes there. But we're sitting 931 subs away from 10,000.
Let's get there.
I want to get there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want to get there. I want to get there quick. So if you guys, if you're listening to this now, if you're not part of our YouTube channel, go sub to our YouTube. Go tell somebody about it. Let's get to 10K. Let's blow this thing up. Y'all know the more that grows, the more we can grow, the more content we can produce for you guys. Eventually, Brett's going to start hunting again, so stuff from this season is going to die. And Matt's going to get on that 150, but we got a little bit of more housekeeping to do. I want to give shout out to Tethered as well as Bowtech for helping make this show possible. They both make some of the most elite gear that's out there. If you're looking to buy a system that makes the most sense, that talks to each other, that is designed for all the components to be seamless together, go check them out. My bow's on the way, I'm told. Brett's is as well. Matt, Parker, you guys have been crushing deer with Bowtech for a little while now. I think Bowtech, like, waved Levi Morgan or whatever pro staffer they have on their team over Matt's bow, and it was really intended for me. But it got to Matt instead. I think they blessed the wrong bow because that joker's got the hot head.
It's a sweet bow, man. It's really good shooting. I'm ready to shoot some does with it and not, you know, be more. I mean, I was in the zone when I killed that deer, but, you know, really let it happen. That one happened really quick. I would like to just see the arrow fly real good. I want to shoot one about 40 yards, you know.
That happened so fast. I want another one, and I want to be more like this.
I'm wanting a doe. Dang. I'm not wanting another velvet buck. I'm wanting a doe. Just a willing participant.
Okay. I don't need any more of those drop time velvet bucks.
I probably will never kill one again.
Oh.
I hope you do.
What's up, Brett?
I just thought about my opportunity at the end of this year that I'm getting.
Oh yeah, you want to tell everybody? Tell them about what you got going on. First off, tell them what you're doing to us, and then tell them what you're doing.
Well, I put in for some special opportunity hunts that I typically put in for, and it's during the rut, which is January, February time, and I just so happened to draw a hunt this year that was the same time as a Patreon hunt. And I'm having to skip out on the Patreon hunt to go on this SOA hunt because I feel like I may never get it again, or I may only get it one other time. And I feel like it's probably one of the better SOA hunts in the state. And then I got it for peak rut. And apparently I drew a really good zone from everything I've read and heard from other people. So I'm excited about that.
There you go.
Yeah, you can take one. You can take a guess on one of those hunts. Unfortunately, yep. It's going to have to not be any of us because we all got to be at the Patreon hunt.
He is abandoning Patreon. If you have looked forward to hanging out with Brett, to doing fun things with Brett, to picking his brain and all the infinite wisdom that he has, he is ditching you guys to go shoot a deer in Alabama. Just make it a 150 and it'll all be worth it.
Somebody killed a 150 there last year.
Well, I wouldn't be saying that out loud. I'd be keeping that pretty close to the best, but that's just me.
Google.
Yeah.
I always feel weird about the SOA hunts because everybody knows that they're really good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, anytime I've ever gone on one, I've said the name of the SOA in the video. And there is some, I know that there is some issues with that. So I feel a little bit weird. It's like pretty much anytime you talk about an SOA, especially if you video an SOA, mm-hmm. most people who know the SOAs are like, oh, that's
so-and-so. Yeah.
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 It's almost like somebody's going to know either way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's not hard. What you guys need to do is you need to look for a Dodge Ram that looks like it's hit at least three or four deer, because that's how many I asked Brett to hit for me this year. And
I don't drive a Dodge, I drive a Chevy.
Yeah, Chevy Ram. Chevy, what, Silverado?
A Chevy Ram.
I mean, that's kind of going to be what it's called. It's going to be called the Ram no matter what it is, Silverado.
Did you get a new truck, Brett?
Yeah, that bumper I have on that Ram stuff like crazy. Somebody calls it the Chevy Ram.
Yeah, that's it. most of my burger is already prepackaged inside a deer skin. All I have to do is just cut the skin back, and the burger's already ground and everything. So, see, that, Parker, ending this podcast is a dark joke that's appropriate and people thought would be funny. So I'm ending it on a high note. Guys, go check out YouTube. Go check out our awesome sponsors. You use the promo code SOCOHUNT to get 10% off of Join or Die Knife. Get ready for the giveaway. Don't forget we're doing a Predator giveaway. We got all kinds of cool stuff coming down the pipe. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you in the great outdoors.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Oh my God! Oh! Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more. You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby. Right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV